good to see everybody filing in. I guess we'll have to start, you know, at 10:30 soon, so people are here on time. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we can just come into your house this morning, Lord, and to worship you and to honor you. Lord, everything that will be shared today is, I pray that it would be glorifying to you and honoring your name and what you are doing across the nations, across this world, and in people's lives here. And Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you never sleep, you never tire, you never weary of showing yourself to be faithful and to be the best God that we could ever love and honor. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to do a work in our hearts as we look to you, as we read your word, as we sing about you, as we listen to things of what you are doing. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and that we would be changed. Not that other men may be joyful in it, but Lord, that you would be joyful, that you are the one that we are seeking to honor and glorify above all. We just thank you and we want to praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Savior die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a thing as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there.
Stay sitting, you can, but if you want to stand, you can stand and sing with us.
Well, except for Lukey, he has to stand.
His holy name.
thank you this morning, Lord, that no matter what may be going on in our lives, the trials, the situations, the mountaintops, the valleys, whatever we may be experiencing, Lord, that we can truly say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, I pray that we would allow our emotions to follow our heart,
yes,
and not our heart to follow our emotions.
Yes, God.
But Lord, that we would stand true knowing the promises that you have given us in your word, the promises that you are there with us every step of the way.
Yes.
And Lord, that we would bless you and praise your name, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Seated.
Here at this fellowship, I've been personally hearing a lot about a universal God and everything. I think we've got a pretty universal individual here as well. And Carrie mentioned about a God who never tires or something like that. I'm like, man, we got an individual never tires either. And so thank you, Carrie. I'm like, for everyone that's here this morning, it looks like Carrie has been is a universal guy and has brought people from all over the community. So it's awesome. Again, glad to have everyone here this morning. As you probably know, Carrie's and their family and some of the youth have been over to Thailand. So look forward to hearing from them here after a little while. Sorry, children, I don't guess we have someone signed up for the children's lesson, but I think Carrie's going to show a lot of pictures of children from Thailand. So I think you can catch up on that. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of announcement. There is always a lunch prepared here, and so feel free to hang around for lunch. I'd appreciate that. And enjoying our time of fellowship here. That's awesome. So hang around. I'm not sure. It's kind of like maybe like a Taco Bell version of Mexican food. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll try it. Before we move on into the service, I'm going to turn the time over to Brother Phil. We've got two individuals that have requested anointing this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your invitation for each one of us to come and worship you in song and in praise. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for putting that song within our hearts, a new song to our God. And I stand in awe of you, Lord, this morning. Pray that you would now come and continue to shepherd our souls in your word and in fellowship together, in Jesus' name. You can turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. And this is something that we do commonly here in the church because we believe in the word of God. It's just that simple. We just do it because the Lord says so. And hey, Tim and Henry made it back. Welcome back, guys. Hallelujah. I wasn't expecting to see you guys here today. That's awesome. By the way, I think we should just really thank God. Can I say this? Tim, you were lost for a season. Even if it was just a couple hours, you got our heart rate up. They were out snowmobiling and they lost Tim. And so last night, Friday night, and it was starting to get dark, and you were getting a heart rate up, right, Debbie? A little bit, but we're glad you're here with us. There's so many accidents that happen in those snowmobiles. Anyway, that was a bit of a distraction, but praise the Lord, we're glad you distracted us. James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Are you suffering? You have something to do. Pray. Is anyone cheerful? You've got something to do too. Praise. Sing. Praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain. And he outran Ahab on his chariot. By the way, you should read that story. Pretty astonishing. He prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we want to just obey that word. And we have a couple who are sick, and as I often share when we do this together as a church, the Lord's promise is not that he's going to physically heal your body. The Lord's promise is he will restore you. So put your faith in his restoration. That's what he will do, he says. You will be restored. Because sickness tends to drag our soul down into our body instead of up in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus where we belong, seated up there. Right? When we're sick and we're suffering, our souls tend to get dragged down into the earthly body and we feel depressed and discouraged. The Lord Jesus may give you temporal healing. That's all physical healing is, by the way. This body is not going to live forever. And so it'll just be a short-term healing if he does heal your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We do pray for that. And we believe him that he can do that. But we know he will restore your soul. That's what our faith is engaged with. And that's what will happen to both of you today. I know that. So we're going to start with Brother Leonard. Leonard, I'll just pull this chair up. That way you don't have to kneel down. And you can just sit here. Ministry team, would you come forward, please? We'll just kneel. We'll just stand around him and pray over him. And if anyone else wants to join us in prayer, it's not just for the ministry team. It's anyone else who would like to come and just pray over him. We're going to let you pray first, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for our church, for the men that are here, for the women, for our friends, for our community. We ask that you would watch over each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. May you guide and direct all of our paths, for I ask these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Leonard, would you like to share with us just the thing that you're facing?
I have a litany of medical issues, have for years, been on pain medications now for the last 14 years. They put a pain stimulator in my back, which is working great, by the way. But it got infected, and they're 98% sure we're going to have to pull it on Tuesday. So I'm praying that God will heal the infection so that they don't have to, because I would really like to stay off of narcotics. And I guess that's the long and the short of it, is that I'm trying to stay off of the pain medications.
Amen. And we'll continue to pray, Dad.
Lord, I pray for our friend Leonard, Lord. I know that in this body, Lord, we will have some complications, Lord. But Lord, we are looking forward to the glorious body that someday
Amen.
You will give us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then we don't have to suffer anymore. But Lord, at this time, I just pray for Leonard, Lord, that you would
yes.
take away the pain and all the things, Lord, that he's facing, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for that his spirit, Lord, would be lifted up this morning in the love of Jesus Christ and realizing, Lord, that we are friends with our Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. And I pray for Leonard, Lord, that this infection, Lord, would go away, Lord, if it's your will, in Jesus' name.
Father, I too just thank you, Lord, for Leonard, and Lord, that you have brought him here at this place and this time, Lord, and you say in your word, for such a time as this. And Lord, I
yes.
just pray that you would heal him, and Lord, that the infection would be gone from his body, and that he could continue on with this, and that he would be able to stay off the narcotics, if you will, and
Amen,
Lord, be able to stay in his right mind where he can worship you and honor you as he desires to.
Amen.
And Lord, I just pray this in the name of Jesus. It's not by our strength or our power, but we know that the power that is in Christ can heal.
Amen.
And Lord, we just ask
yes.
that for Leonard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just want to lift up our brother to you this morning in this very moment, this very hour. Lord, I just thank you for his testimony and the blessing that he's been to this fellowship. And Lord, I just pray to you continue to work in his life. And Lord, we just want to, we lift him up, Lord.
Amen, Lord.
And Lord, to your throne, Father. And I just pray that in Jesus' name, that you would remove his infection
yes.
and whatever he's facing and his pains. Lord, you're the healer.
Yes.
Lord, you're the great physician. And Lord, it's not of our works, but Lord, we just cry out to you and just commit his body into your care,
yes.
Father. Lord, just continue to give him direction. Lord, just keep his hopes and his spirit up. And I
Amen,
just pray
Lord.
The power of the
Amen.
Darkness be defeated in
yes.
every way, Lord. I know Satan likes to discourage and get us down. But Lord, I just pray that he could sense your love and your
yes.
peace and your angels around him and over him.
Yes.
I just thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. I thank you that you tell us in your word, though this outward body is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. So we pray that for our brother, that today you would give him that renewing strength. Tomorrow you would give him that renewing strength. And every day from now to eternity, just continue, Lord, to strengthen his inner man with all might by your Holy Spirit. And raise him up, Father, into that restoration, that renewal that you have prepared for him every day. And we do call upon your name and ask you to touch his infection and heal it. In the name of Jesus Christ, do a miracle, Lord. We know you can, and we entrust his soul and his body into your loving care.
Our brother, we anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed.
Gloria, do you want to come forward?
Yes.
Do you want to sit in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Any of the sisters want to come forward and
Pray with Lori as well. Come around her.
He wants to ask for prayer if needed.
Amen. You want to give her the mic and ask her. Gloria, you want to share with us?
I'd like to just thank the Lord for a church that is so close to my home that I can come to whenever I'm able.
Amen.
And Lord, I know that you will heal us when the time is right. If it's not till you're coming, then we're satisfied to always trust in you. And Lord, I just pray you will bless this church. And I don't know why, but the Lord's led me lately to be praying for generational curses to be lifted all the families in the world and in this community. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray you will bless this church and let it grow.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for Gloria and the light that she is in this community.
Amen.
Oh, God, I thank you that no matter what she has gone through and the hard, hard things that she has faced in her life, still you have always held on to her.
Yes.
You have been her rock and her strong tower. And, God, I know that you will be until the day that you call her home.
Amen.
I thank you, Father, for being a faithful friend to us. And I pray, God, that you would heal her mind,
yes,
body, and soul.
Amen.
God, that you would renew her spirit, that she would find all of her joy,
yes,
her contentment, her satisfaction in you and you alone.
Amen.
And every day as she reads your word, that you would reveal yourself to her,
yes,
in a sweet new way.
Amen.
And I thank you for her. I pray, God, that you would heal her in every way,
yes,
whether you do that now or when you call her home or you come back. Father, we trust you, but I know that you are a good father to Gloria,
yes,
and I just want to thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Lord, for our dear sister, Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I call her the Jesus refresher in this community,
yes,
and that truly is her life. Father, I just thank you for being her father and for the miracles that you have done in her life, and I know you still want to keep doing those, and I just pray that you would heal her today,
yes,
in her physical body, that,
yes,
you would heal,
Lord,
her back,
Jesus,
that she would be able to walk, Lord,
mm-hmm,
without pain. And Father, I thank you for all those years that she served her mother, and I know that's why she is struggling today with this pain in her back, and I just pray that you would heal her.
Amen.
And Father, just thank you for the encouragement she is to us. And I just praise you that we have crossed paths and not only meet in church, but during the week, Lord, we get to connect so many times. And I thank you so much for her. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for Gloria's friendship, and I thank you for the peace she brings and the love she brings to those around her. We just pray for her, Lord, that you take away pain and you heal her. You're a good, good Father.
Yes.
I just praise you, Lord, for who you are in our lives, who you are in Gloria's life, and just heal her.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we also pray the same for our dear sister. We, Lord, lift her up before your throne of grace and pray that your grace would be poured into her heart, Lord. That grace that comes from your own heart into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. You give us that grace freely and so much more, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think to ask. So we pray for that grace, Lord, your grace to be poured into her inner man, and you would strengthen her and restore her inner man, Lord Jesus, with your living word. Oh, Father, I pray that those rivers of living water would continue to flow from the faith of her own heart to continue to water souls in this community, especially, Father, to the seniors next door. Father, you have planted her there in that garden, and she is blooming there, Lord, and giving the aroma of Jesus Christ to everyone. And I thank you, Father, for her labor of love and her sharing of the gospel, the witness of Jesus Christ, that she is for your kingdom there in that place. And she prayed for so many and led
numerous ones to you, Father. So now, Lord, come in mercy. I pray and relieve her, Lord, and touch her body and give her rest in her soul, Father. We pray that you would raise her up and you would touch her and heal her for your glory. And Lord Jesus, so that she can continue to share the gospel and fellowship with the saints and be encouraged and be that light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We thank you for her and pray your blessing. You're her Heavenly Father's richest blessing upon her today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Gloria, we anoint you with oil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed. Their kids. They came back from Amsterdam, and their kids are really sick and have been really sick for the last few days, and so they're just under the weather. Let's pray for them. Father, we lift up Lee and Christy and their family, and especially the children, Father. Would you touch them right now with your grace? I pray, Lord, for Christy and Lee. Father, you know sometimes these times are harder, even on us as parents, as we carry the burden, and it just tears our heart out to see our little children suffering. We pray that your spirit would be with them and you would encourage them in your word even right now and lift them up and bless them as they serve these sweet little ones. You said, Jesus, that even as we have done it unto these little ones, so we do it as unto you. So strengthen them with that word. And we pray you would touch their children and heal them this morning in Jesus' name.
Okay, I'm going to begin this. I want you guys to listen to this song. And, oops, we have no sound.
Children,
okay, we'll start it from the beginning.
Can you hear the prayer of the children on bended knee in the shadow of an unknown? Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning heavenward toward the crying, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul you'll take.
Can you feel the hearts of the children?
Oh,
Okay. I didn't know where to play that song because I think you're going to hear a lot about children this morning. And I just want to say, first off, this trip was planned over a year ago when we got back from Thailand. We right away, the youth, you know, all wanted to go along. And at first, I think we had 21 youth that had said they were going. And I look at all of them that didn't go then. But there was like 21 youth that said they were going, okay, this is going to be great, huge team to go along. And, of course, I wasn't thinking of the logistics of that at all. And as things slowly dwindled down, we ended up with 8. And at first, as things were winding down more and more and more, I was like, oh, no. Like, okay, this is getting smaller and smaller. And then I was like, I felt God was just like, hey, I got a plan for this. I tell you, I wouldn't have wanted one more person along. Maybe I did, but I didn't. It was the perfect size. If we'd have had one more, we couldn't have fit in a songtel, unless we were going to stick Justin on top. But that thing was so overloaded. If you guys understand what a songtel is, I don't think we have a picture of one, but picture a Toyota Tacoma pickup, two-wheel drive, and then they stick a little cover bed on the back that's up high, and then they put bench seats in the sides, inside the bed, and you sit in this thing, and we're crammed in there. And this is a two-wheel drive little pickup that, I mean, we all fit in there, but there was no suspension left. So when you went over, like, a speed bump, it just went boom. And I forgot how bad it was until I'd get in a different vehicle, and I was like, oh, my word, I didn't feel the bump. But it was perfect. We could all ride around, and I believe that God ordained the team that we had perfectly. And I was so excited for each one that came and was on the team, and it was a lot of fun. You guys loved our boys so well. We kind of felt like in some ways we were working hard as parents to a lot of kids now. But at the same time, we were spoiled because Benny was taken care of. We didn't know where he was most of the 2 weeks that we were there. Sometimes I would tell my boys they had to ride in the truck with me so I could actually talk to my boys because we felt like we weren't even seeing our boys. And we were like missing even our boys, our family. And so, but they were so well taken care of, and the youth loved on them so well. And we were just so blessed by what God did and how he directed our steps in that. And one of the biggest things was when we were planning this trip, in my heart, and this was my lack of faith, in my heart, I thought, oh my, I was thinking about the youth that we were taking. I was like, I just don't think they're going to like the orphanage very much up there. I didn't think they were going to really, a bunch of grubby hands, grubby little kids that just, I mean, drape themselves on you. And I was waiting for the youth to go, and the first day we went up there, I mean, we flew in, and like, what, an hour later we were headed up there, something like that, I think it was. The youth boys, I think Caitlin went along. I think the other girls went to do something else. But and here we go up there. And I was, immediately I came back, I was going, I mean, they just loved on the kids immediately. And I was so surprised by this. But anyway, I'm going to try to go through these, well, if I can get this to go. Okay, so a plane ride, we were kind of scattered around a little bit on different plane rides. The travel agent that we had that got our plane tickets and stuff for us, he was like, this way you can share the gospel with more people if you're not sitting with your own group. Which on the way back, they completely embarrassed us because they were sitting in the middle. All 8 of the team was, and our family was sitting right beside them in 6 seats. And they decided that they wanted to sing, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God," in the middle of this airplane while we're taking off, I guess, which was interesting. Not sure how the Asians liked it. So anyway, when we got there, the first 2 days, we were trying to get over jet lag and stuff. So for the most part, we were just kind of hanging around Chiang Mai. We weren't really doing a lot of stuff other than touristy stuff. So we went and seen the elephants. And this is a night market that we were at the one evening. You can't walk. There's so many people, you can hardly walk through this. This is soap. I'm just trying to give you guys an idea of what you're looking at. Smoothies. The guy looks like he has a mango for a head, but trust me, he does have a good head back there. We love smoothies, by the way. I think Pat fell in love with smoothies after the first one. Jordan, too. But smoothies we loved. So fresh fruit and ice and always cooler. So the one on the right is Tabby. The one on the left is, the one on your left is Tabby. The one on your right is Malia. Tabby is from Missouri. Malia is from here in Fort Collins. So these are the elephants. We went to the elephant camp, and they do different things with them. They play soccer. They hose people, as you will see shortly. Because there's people standing up here, as you'll see in a minute. Sorry if you can't see. It's kind of like snot. Somebody brought up, because you can buy bananas there to feed bamboo and bananas to feed the elephants. So they sell you that so you can feed their elephants. It's a really good a business plan. This is what we call the sticky waterfalls. We discovered this last February when we were there? Yeah. You would think that anywhere that water actually runs down is supposed to be slick. You shouldn't stand on it. This is quite the opposite. You can just run up this, as you'll see in a second here. You can just walk up and down it. We have so much fun with it. It's refreshing. We were exploring the treehouse and different places up there. This is all the first 2 days. It's a beautiful place. If you guys want to come visit, we'll take you to all these spots. This was typical. This was the first day they were there. We were headed up with luggage up to the children's home. Strawberries, oh my word, I've never seen 14 people destroy that many strawberries that fast. Because I think Pat was the instigator of the destruction. But they don't have chemicals and stuff. So if you get the fresh strawberries right there on the mountain where they picked them, they are going to be bad within 24 hours. So they are just fresh and sweet. So they did have to destroy them. This is the back of the songtel. As these poor guys are sitting on a very narrow board, and they would sit back there and have more fun humoring the ties that they were riding alongside. I'll let them tell all those stories. But this is the children's home up here. Just give you guys some visuals of what they're going to be talking about. They would line them up and divide them into teams for different team activities and different things we were doing. And you always had so many children hanging off of you. There's almost 600 children at this home. They have this tie thing. I don't know what it means. Do you know what it means, Pat? I don't either. Oh, there's Sassy off to the left. I'll let Jordan talk about Sassy. So one of the things that we were asked to do over there was install these roof vents up above all the toilets. They have these dorms. So when we went over in November, we didn't really talk about it when we came back. But what we had went over there was to work at this children's home. And we were pressure washing out and cleaning up this children's home, all their dorms and restrooms and everything. They had toilets that were just plugged that they weren't even cleaning. you know, they had one cleaner for 600 kids, and there was no way she was keeping up. It was really, really filthy. So we were going into their dorms and cleaning everything out and pressure washing this down. It's concrete, disinfecting, pressure washing, going through all these different things, the steps to it. And one of the things that we noticed was that above the restrooms, it was vented through the dorms. So it really stank through the dorms, and it was hot in the restrooms. There was just no vents. So we got these natural spinning vents that we were sticking up, and this is how Pat tried to lose a finger. But we were installing these up on top so that they could vent out all the restrooms. And it was amazing. I went into one of the girls' restroom area because it's a whole line down the side of this building. And I went in there after we had installed like 8 of them above there, and it was so much cooler and smelled so much better. Playing the Norwegian foot game. These are the kids. They just line up. And then that's how they keep them separated by age and what class, I think, and stuff. And they're just sitting on concrete in the hot sun. Benny, we never knew where he was there. He had a lot of friends in there his age. It was amazing. We would see him once in a while. I think, where was that picture, honey, of him? Right there, yeah. As you can see up there by the basketball thing, Benny is up there. This is typical of how we would find Benny. He was just somewhere with his little group of friends doing something. I'm not sure where he was all day, but in amongst all, yeah, a little blonde head amongst all these little black-haired children. So that was what you'd find. What happened here? That's my dream. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Another team over there from Pennsylvania and Kentucky, I think it was, and they were actually living there and stayed there for almost 4 weeks. They actually just left. And they were a lot of fun. They really loved the kids a lot. So we were doing different activities. This one was we gave them all an egg and straws and tape. Divide them into teams. And then they had to protect this egg. And if I could drop it from the top of the ladder and it would survive the fall, then we would go to another test. And then I would... this was the one on the left video. They were blindfolded. Malia's just taking her team home. But they were blindfolded. They had to try to pick up the most balloon pieces blindfolded. So the whole team, except for the one in the back, is blindfolded. And then they'd have to walk around. The one in the back is giving them all the directions for the whole line and what they had to do. And the one in the front's trying to collect balloon pieces off the ground. But the egg thing, they loved that. They had to do that. And most of them, I would say there was probably a 50% success rate of keeping the egg. And I would throw them things into the air as hard as I could, and they'd come down and it would protect it. Dodgeball was a huge thing. We went into Shields before we left, and I bought some good four square dodgeballs like I grew up with. This area, I don't know what they used it for, but it became the perfect dodgeball area. They had never played dodgeball before, but they figured it out really fast. Oops, was there a video here, hon? Oh. Well, anyway, it's just Brad, no big deal. It was so interesting, though. The way I grew up playing dodgeball is you got three steps. When you got the ball, you got three steps to take. It's every man for himself. It wasn't teams. You know, it's every man for himself. You got three steps to take. Well, you can't communicate because they speak Thai. So they didn't get the idea that it was only three steps. All they would see is us American taking three huge jump steps. But they would always, so they got the part of the jump steps, but they just kept going. Like they would go all the way from end to end of the court jump stepping. Now, I don't know why they thought they had to jump step, but apparently this was part of it. Eventually they did start figuring out that, oh, there it is.
Is that right? Oh!
They immediately, as soon as there it was, school was out, the first thing they were asking was, dodgeballs, like, go get the dodgeballs, because I didn't just let them there. We would put them in a suitcase, and they couldn't get enough of it. This was one of their protected eggs. This was another one. We were doing music. You can kind of hear the music in the background. So they had to go around in a circle, and they had straws in the middle. And it's kind of like musical chairs. So as soon as it stopped, if you could get in and get a straw, there's one less straw than the kids were in the middle. And I've done a lot of team activities and stuff over the years, and I've never knew it could be as hard as what this is with language barrier and 600 kids. Or it was, I think most of the time when we were doing the activities, like 330 kids or something. But it was really hard to coordinate all that. Stopping on the way, we were headed up, after we were there at the children's home for 4 days, and we headed up to the Corinne with May again. May's car had broken down a couple days earlier, so Leland and I were looking at it very, we did figure out the problem, but it took us a while. We were invited to a Corinne wedding, which was absolutely fun. I'll let the others tell you about that. I've always wanted to go to one, and it was exciting to be able to go. Everybody loved Addie's big beard because they can't grow big beards like that. So he was kind of like a small celebrity over there. So this is why the guys wanted a picture with him, because, and the poor bride and groom are up there, and here's Addie stealing the show with a beard. This is Blessing, May's daughter Blessing, and also her daughter Gracie, I believe. Two ugly guys on the left are my sons. Sorry, Brad. Pat's famous suit coat. Him and Caitlin matched up pretty nice. I think you guys have heard me talk about Golalat at Kualala's, and he was showing us some of his music in his homemade studio there. And they made some amazing food that night. Fish. Again, I was so proud of my team because I thought they were just, the food was going to, you know. No, they cleaned they ate every bug. They pushed my limits on some of it. Like, the bugs in the market definitely pushed my limits. Sharing that evening with the kids that live there at Kualala's. This is up at Pastor's Village up there where we had been before. The girls stayed a little bit further up the hill than us boys. This is Pastor's room there by the church. They made us bamboo sticky rice. Some of them weren't feeling good and were sick, which was a real bummer for that. But went to church there that next Sunday. Soretta got to share with the ladies, some of the ladies from the church there that morning, that Sunday morning. I got to share that afternoon or that morning with the church there then. May was interpreting. We weren't feeling very well, so we were headed over from Pastor's Village over towards May's. We were all just going to sleep on May's floor, and I decided that was a bad idea. We ended up at a hotel here, or a hostel. This was owned by a Christian lady. Every one of our rooms had a gospel track Bible in it, which was really neat. So definitely enjoyed being able to support her. Went over to this is real close to the Burma border, to the long necks. This is where they put the rings on their necks and to try to get them to, have beautiful long necks. the boat ride across the river. Apparently, Caitlin didn't need the rings from birth. This was May's. May has started, like, I think she's got 14 children that live with her now. And they go to school right there close to her, so she's able to run this home. In the evenings, they make these banana chips, which I would love to figure out a way of importing into the U.S. These banana chips are amazing. And I've never seen... Jordan destroys food at our house, but he even destroyed these banana chips faster than the food in our house. That she set a bag of like remnants in the middle of the youth, and I think they destroyed it in like 15 minutes. I looked over, and there was hardly any left in this massive bag full of these banana chips. They're amazing. This is how May is supporting herself, her and her husband. They work really hard, and going by what I've figured out from it, their profit per day is about $21 a day is what they make, and they work really hard for this. That's Joshua Nana's wife, and this little boy that is eating his watermelon there, he was born the day after we left last February. So we had... we hadn't met him yet, so we were really excited to be able to stop in and see him. Pat decided to butcher his finger. The medical bills about did us in as a team on our budget, because I think it all added up with the stitches in and the stitches out and the antibiotics and the bandages and everything else. It almost came out to $27. We're on our way to the airport. We stopped one last time. Of course, I didn't add enough time, or I talked too long in devotions. I don't know what it was, but of course, we were in a big old hurry to get to the airport and barely get there in time to leave. Ate one last time on the street with food. We wanted the youth to experience portage. And I finally got an American coffee. I was so happy. I love Thai coffee, but they only give it in little bits. Like, the people are smaller over there, and they drink way smaller coffees. I like ventes. I'm not sure what happened there. Okay. But I'm going to let the youth share. I just wanted you guys to kind of have some pictures and visuals for that. And I'll let the youth start. Which one of you guys wants to go first? Pat's. Don't stand up behind there. It feels like you can just stand here and hold the mic.
I feel like talking about Thailand really doesn't do it justice. You have to see it for yourself. But, like you saw in some of the photos, we got there and about an hour or so after we got to the house, Carrie's like, hey, who wants to go up to the orphanage just to see what we're going to be doing? So I think about four or five of us went up there, and it was about an hour, hour and a half drive or so. And so it was very, very beautiful drive. You can see a little bit on there on how it looks. But it reminded me a little bit of Colorado, Florida, Tennessee, Africa. It just reminded me of a whole bunch of different spots. But I see why Carrie wants to move over there. It is just gorgeous. And so we got to the orphanage, and we were barely 30 seconds in the gate, and I already got five kids on my arm. So did Addie, so did Caitlin and everybody else. But the kids there, they are just so sweet. They are so adorable. And it's like Sarah was saying, you don't really know how you're gonna spend time with all the kids there and show love to all of them. But it worked out pretty good. All the kids, you were never standing still. You were always moving throughout the whole day. So at the end of the day, 5-6 hours later, we were all pretty tired. So we were there for 4-5 days, and I don't know how those kids have so much energy. I was like Kira was saying, dodgeball, they would play that for hours on end. Three rounds, I was done. I was whooped. I was drenched in sweat. And they are just the sweetest people over there. They are so nice. They are so polite. They made us lunch every day. And I would honestly trade Thai food over American. I would take that way more. It's way better. Yeah, and then we went to the night market a couple times there, and that was a good experience. I really loved that one. The food there was amazing. The anything you want, clothes, food, souvenirs, they have it. You want it, they got it. You just have to try and find it among the thousands of people that are there. And then Carrie introduced us to a lot of new food, and honestly, I don't think there was a single thing there I did not like. Yes, even the bugs. The bugs were actually really, really good. But, yeah. And the food there is just 10 times better than what we have here in America. I honestly wish we could have it here. But, let me think here. So we did that for the first week. The second week, up to the Korean village, what was it, 3-hour drive or so, 3.5. It was bumpy, it was dusty, but we enjoyed our time there. And yeah, there was a couple times we got airborne going up that hill because it was so bumpy and there was like 3 inches of dust on the road. And so yeah, it was, we got pretty dirty on that. And then we got up to the Korean village, and right after we got there, some of the guys went out fishing, and some of the youth group went with them. I just slept, though. I was too tired. And so they brought back fresh fish for us, and that stuff was amazing. And we got to meet May for the first time, and she is just an amazing lady. She is full of life. She is always cheerful, and I really thankful that we had her, because I don't know what we'd do without her. And yeah, like Carrie was saying, her little business making banana chips, that stuff is better than the potato chips we have here in America. And yeah, if you can import it, please do. But yeah, and then she told us that we are going to a Korean wedding tomorrow. We did not know about that. And then one of the ladies there, she actually makes this stuff all by hand. And so she was showing us her inventory. And so we all bought shirts. And apparently this was the last one she had, so I was the lucky one for that. And the wedding was very nice wedding. It wasn't long. It was maybe half an hour, 45 minutes or so. And I didn't understand one word they were saying. But it was actually very nice to be there. And they just, wherever we went, they just welcomed us in. We didn't feel like we were set apart from them. We didn't feel like we were outside the group. We just felt like we belonged there. And let's see here. After the wedding, we went over to the other Korean village. I forget which one that was. But the one before Maze. Yeah, way back in the mountains. And yeah, they do live a poorer life, but I feel like it is a lot simpler than what we live here in America, because we're just stressing about, are we going to have enough for this? Are we going to have enough for that? They're just living day-to-day lives, and I feel like it's just, yeah, a lot more peaceful on that one. And let's see here. After that, we went back to May's village and spent a few nights there with May, got to know them a little bit better. And then after that, we went back to Chiang Mai for one more night. And like Kira was saying, we went to the night market one more time, just to, because I feel like the first two times we went there, we weren't there long enough. I think we should have stayed there for a few more hours. But we went there, and yeah, we were there for 3 hours, I think, just walking around, enjoying Thailand, Chiang Mai, and yeah, hopefully we can get the team back together again, go next year after Carrie's move and after they're settled in. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be kind of cool if we could make it a yearly thing or every other year, go back to Thailand and visit with Carrie's and visit the orphanage again, because yeah, I feel like you can't talk enough about the kids. The kids are just amazing. And they are just full of life, full of love, and you can never show enough love to them. And they never get tired. It's kind of annoying, though. It's really, really annoying. But, yeah, and what was it? Was it Thursday? The Thursday after we got there? That was water day for that. And so Carrie had went to the store. He had gotten 2,000 water balloons, and we spent over an hour filling all those things up. And so after we had setting that out, Carrie said, go. 30 seconds later, they're gone. And so after that, they were just grabbing tubs, bags, anything they could find to fill up with water. And we got drenched. You're just sitting there filling it up, and then all of a sudden behind you, you are bombarded by three kids with water. And so we were never dry after that. But it was just so much fun, and I thank God that I got to go with Carrie's over to Thailand, and it was a real adventure for me, and I'm really glad I could go. And yeah, like Carrie was saying, I mashed up my finger, and so I can actually say I put blood, sweat, and tears into this trip. So it was a good trip.
Well, I don't have any pictures to show because that would make a storytelling way better. I liked how Patrick, like, just went through it, kind of like the chronology of everything. Like, oh, I remember that and that and that and that and that. But we get there the first day, and it was like middle of the day. I was like, it was fresh. Like, let's go see what we're doing here. And we get up there and see like the buildings that we're putting up, and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be nice. And it's hot, like it's hot. And it was nice that we went up there and looked, and then came back and then did some touristy things and went and saw some of Thailand that we wouldn't have otherwise, honestly, because we were so slammed after those 3 days of like just touring around. The night markets, I think we went there like that first night. We just swung in, and there's something about the night markets, just the atmosphere. Like, you have all these little tiny vendors, but it's like just that joy in serving. They're just like, you know, I really noticed that when we got back to San Francisco, and he was going and got him a hamburger, and like, they're like, here's your hamburger, but they're grouchy. It's like, well, I've been in a completely different world. Just the night markets, because of how many vendors there are, like, you're meeting all these little tiny businesses, and it's a whole experience. We get up there, and after we had toured a little bit and went to the Sticky Falls, that just blows your brain. Like, because you're like walking up this, and it's not just like kind of gradual. It's like up the hill, like it's a mountain, and you're walking up there with bare feet, and you're not slipping. Like, you'd have to try hard to slip, and even if you slipped, you'd still probably just land right there. It's a water, but the mineral content in the water makes it so nothing grows on the rock, and it actually makes the rock it's a bit sand, like has that texture. We get back from here, and I thought they were gonna show us the first time I had the fresh mango smoothies. So we get done, and they have like these little food shops that are kind of by that Sticky Falls area, and like we're sitting up there and they have a little line, so we're getting some smoothies. And they finally come out with these fresh smoothies. And this is the first time, like, we stopped and got some smoothies. And Carrie's like, you've got to try this. You've got to try this. I'm like, okay. So we're just hanging out, waiting for the orders to come up. And Sarah's like, I feel like I should go back and help them, because when you put the order in, they were like, huh? You want how? And they come back, and, you know, I get one, and I'm like, whoa. And she got a picture of me right as I, like, got done. And it's a good picture. It's caught in action. So that was the first 3 days. And then we go up to the orphanage where all the little kids are. And I remember that first day, they're in the middle of schooling, and we're up there with some of the team from Pennsylvania. They line us all up here, and just a row of like 12 of us or whatever. And the head lady comes out and she has all the kids in a row, and she's introducing each one or a bunch of us to the kids. But she had like this little chant going, like, my name is, and basically went down. So that was a lot of fun doing all that. When we, the next week, I think the jet lag really started to affect me or something, because that's when, like, my respiratory system just went, like, haywire, literally. And so now I'm just feeling, like, absolute bonkers, and I'm just, like, I'm only here for 2 weeks. Like, I can't just, like, lay down and take a nap. Like, the 2 weeks is going to be gone, and then I'll be like, well, that was an expensive nap time. So I'm like, oh, we're gonna be all right. So we took some medicines, and we took some throat and tonsil stuff, and just pushing through. And then I'm like, well, I want to go up there and help them put these vents on, because it's going to go way faster if we all go up there. And it went way faster than we had expected. Like, we had the system down and just bam, 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 bam. Like, Jordy and Pat were cutting up, and me and Leland were just putting them in, and it was insane how fast it went. But I'm up there, and we basically had to climb on smaller roofs and then climb on the next roof. And so it was a bit of getting up in there. But the roof, the metal on the roof is so thin. It's so thin. So you have to, like, make sure you're stepping on each purling or joist, yeah. Because you step anywhere else, and that stuff will, like, boom, like boil. So I'm up there, and it's hot. We're just burning up, and I'm over there, like, trying to, like, stay alive because my head's starting to hurt and all that. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get down if it feels too much. And Leland's like, you should probably just hang out, like, so there was one day I was like, I'm just gonna watch you guys. How you guys doing? And so we had fun with that, and it was good as it was. Got that all done. We had to get some more, so it wasn't like just a whole day, just working the whole day. It was like we'd go up there for a couple hours and get it done, then waited for the stuff to show up the next day. But I remember that first day we got there, and it's like, Your nervous system just is overwhelmed with how many children are around you. And they're all like if you got something to hang on to, they're like, hang on. Like, so you're walking around. I remember there's a picture of Pat, and he has like this row of like three or four kids like hanging on to each other's hand, and they're hanging on to his hand. I was like, yeah, that's a good representation. But we go into the kindergarten, and they're in the middle of school. And we just stopped in there for 2 seconds. And it's like, one of the kids is like, hey, you know, you want to pick me up? So I pick him up, and the next person comes over. And so you're like, I could pick them up too. But you pick them up, and then one grabs your leg. You're like, oh, boy. And then the other one grabs your other leg, and you just... After the dodgeball, because it was like... a little bit of, like, just the emotionally, like, you're just around people the whole day. Like, a zillion people have little kids, and they're, like Pat said, like, they're never tired. But and you're getting. Oh, okay. And you're getting this. You're getting off of jet lag, and so you're trying to like persevere. And we like you play different games with them, like simple ones. And there was one time I grabbed one of the kids. I'm like, here, watch me, or like watch this. So you start going, but you got like kids from like on the other side of the court or somewhere else, and but they see you start doing it and they're like, what? And they just take off running. So you got grab them, you spin them around, and a couple times, and then another kid's like, me? And I'm like, oh boy. And then a line starts forming. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to figure out how to not just wipe out here. So I turn the other way, and the next one I turn the other way, and then I just turn the other way. At about 12 in, I'm like, all right, I gotta take a break. They're like, okay. And they all kind of disappear, and then one of them's like, you know, once I stand up, they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, okay, yeah. Start doing it, and pretty soon you got five guys. Then you got seven. Then you got 12 again. And I'm like, woo-wee. Anyways, then there was this, I don't even remember what her name was, but she was so dutiful about this. Like, she wanted to keep going around. The other game is that I saw Jordy doing it too. But you bounce them, like, so they jump, and then you just basically assist their jump. And that was just the best thing. Like, they just love that. But you got to where it was like, one, and then they just run to the back of the line. I'm like, like, because they wouldn't be like, you know, again. They're just like, back of the line. But there was this one little girl. She's like probably this tall. Like, she wasn't very tall. But she'd be like, you know, because she'd just be like, they'd kind of come up and just kind of like, you know, hit your chest or whatever. Just like, hey, you want to pick me up, you know? So I did a little bit, and a little line starts to form, and I'd go through a little bit, and they're like, okay, I'm tired. And because it's so hot, so you're like, you have to make sure you have electrolytes and water. And she's like, okay. And she's like, tells everybody, like, okay, calm down, like, it's fine. And she's like, here, let me. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And she grabs my arm, and she starts, like, pounding on me. She's massaging my arm. Like, bam, 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 bam. And she's this little girl, so she's reaching, they're trying to, like, hit on my arm. I'm like, oh, nice. And then she, like, recruited one of the other little, like, kids. Like, hit the other arm. Like, you do the other arm. I'm like, what am I doing here? And it was so funny to me. I'm just like, I'm just going to hang out here. It's fine. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Thank you. Or Copton Cop. And they like turn around, kind of sit for like 15 seconds. They're like, hey, again? So she like figured out the system. If I give him a little bit of time, like, we can keep going. Oh, it was so good. Then after, I think it was like three times she had done that, just pounded my arm like that. She's like, hey, get like down. Like, tells me to sit down on the floor. So I sit down, and she like starts doing it on my shoulders and down my back. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, we're out here just boiling in the sun. It was pretty good. I remember, I think it was probably the second day we were there. Like, the overwhelm of just that many people around you, and just like, if you have energy to like play with them or do anything, like let's do something. I think that it was the second day, and I remember we had just played this intense game of volleyball, because those guys, they were way faster, and like, their athletic is crazy athletic. And I remember we kind of got done with the game, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, as tired as I am and as exhausted as I am, I'm going to miss this place, because there's just the way the kids worked together and played together. Like, you could tell that, like, God's hand was in amongst them. Like, it was such a powerful, powerful experience to go that far from home and still see, like, the aroma of Christ working among them. And it was such a powerful testimony and a moment for me, because I was like, I am exhausted. Like, I feel my voice is starting to, like, I lower down to, like, that late night DJ voice before it completely disappeared. And, but, like, the love that you could feel in the atmosphere was just profound to me. Like, f- for me, that was something that God really just shown me, like, before me. We got done there and went up to, what's, like, the music guy? Yeah, Kuala. We go up there, and we're driving, and I'm riding with Leland, and we go, and it's like just curves and turns and everything, and then we come up around a curve and like stop in the road and like turn into these through these barricades. I'm like, where are we going? Like, this feels like we're off in like big old ruts. We're like, but that was the place, and it was like, well, this is kind of awesome. we turned up into their driveway, and that guy has got the sweetest, like, just spirit about him. Like, he's not, like, trying to put a front on, not doing any of that. But he just, I don't know, his music is really good, too. I thought you were going to play the music that with the little kids that were singing one of his songs or something. I thought that was pretty amazing. We stayed in their chapel, just like they laid out some nice mats and stuff, and the girls stayed in one of the other rooms. Like that was just a sweet, sweet time for me. Like, it just, the way that it just impacted me, because there wasn't that many children at that point. It was like more like his house, and there's more, like, it was a little bit slower pace, I guess you'd say. We keep on going. That's when we went like up into the mountains a little bit further, and he's like, hey, he's like, Carrie introduced, like, telling us, like, hey, like, it's not like down there in Chiang Mai with the kids. Like, this is like house on stilts, like thin walls, like paper thin walls, and in the morning, just be ready for that 4:30 like alarm clock to go off and those roosters just to start tearing it up. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be that bad. I'm good. We get up there, and sure enough, the inside of their houses are so clean. Like, the floors are smooth. The tile downstairs, like, slick. Like, they never walk in there with their shoes or anything. I don't know, like, with the dust, how they keep it that clean. But it's like, it feels really clean inside. But you go outside, and it's just straight dust. But we get there, and I'm feeling a lot better. And like, their showers, all that, like, you don't have heated water there. It's nice and cold. But, you know, we go to bed, and it's like 5:50 in the morning, and you hear the men in the chapel, like, singing, like, some hymn. And I can't tell what they're saying, but I can tell, like, that it's the hymn, like, what hymn it is. You know, I'm just like, what? Like, that is... Like, if my mind or my brain would be like, oh, that's that song, but it's like, wait, that's not that song, because they're it's singing a different language. But so that was just, I don't know, something good to hear at that time in the morning, literally before sex. But on what? Okay, I'll wrap this up. I remember. I just want on this last one, we had a frisbee. We were thrown, and the people in the back of the song tower, they got that. Like, they'd have the frisbee, and then they'd be playing Farkle in the back of the song tower while they're driving down the road. I thought that was so good. Yeah, hours on end. Just like, it's the only thing that kept us sane, is what I said. there's like little stories of, like, different moments and stuff, but it was such a blessing. Even up there at the Korean village that we were at, the pastor's house, I remember being like it feels like we took a couple steps back in time. But the peace and just the joy in those people, it just kept testifying. Like, when Christ is there, it just impresses on people. And their actions, and is so special to me, so special. Anyways, I'll wrap it up with that.
Sounds good. I wasn't planning on talking anyway. So. Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin, for those of you I don't know. I was really hesitant to actually go on the trip. And when I went on the trip, I really felt like I was going in with an orphan spirit. So meeting the children and being in that environment was really beautiful, because I think they showed me that all of us really have an orphan spirit, but also the way that the children just live life so simply and with love, and their gift of themselves. There was one girl, her name is Napute, but she just all day, she just pretty much every day just wanted to be near me and just wanted to be held. And I would ask her if she wanted to go play, and she just wanted to be held. And I think that really showed me the love of Christ and how he loves us, and he just wants to hold us and care for us and love us. And that was just a really beautiful experience, being at the orphanage and reminding me that Christ loves me. also just real quick, there was a lot of different moments where I felt like I was just like witnessing the life of Christ, it was really cool. I was just like seeing like little things on our trip. I was telling Soretta, like, we took United as like our air flight, like one of the air flights, not the main international one, but the word United kept coming up for me, unity, and how Christ brings unity. And even being in a different culture, I was just seeing unity and then simplicity. And also we heard this talk, Life is Not a Korean Drama. They love like Korean soap operas there, and it's like all this dramatic love and like all these things. But really Christ was just showing me how simple he was. And it was really cool, because when we added up the number of us that were actually there, there was 8 youth and then the 4 boys. That makes 12 of us, right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 12 of us, and then Carrie and Soretta. So like, we went fishing in the river, and it felt like we were the apostles. not actually, but we want to live the life of Christ. And so it was just really beautiful to see the youth and like how passionate they were to witness to the life of Christ and then also experience the life of Christ. And there was just a lot of different moments like that where we cut down bamboo sticks one day, and I remember like looking at the trees, and like there were thorns that were probably the size of the thorns that would have gone in Christ's head. And I was just like thinking of like just, and then I saw Malia like holding the bamboo sticks like this on both ends, and I tried it, and then I was like, oh my gosh. And it felt like we were just like, yeah, like I was like picturing Christ on the cross. And I only did it for like a little walk down the road, and my arms were in so much pain. And so just seeing how they just live life so simply, and but entered, if this makes sense, but like really entering into the life of Christ with simplicity, and eating food there too is just so like communal. Like they treat food as an opportunity to encounter each other. And I really like would love to see that more in America. We treat food as like a diet here, and like we need protein, and like just trying to like, it's just constantly apart from the actual meaning of a meal and communion. And so I was just seeing a lot of those things, biblical things, like coming and the Lord just like ordaining those moments for us. And so it was really beautiful. But that's all I have to say. God is good. Yeah.
Jordan.
Well, getting out of your comfort zone is not, getting out of my comfort zone is not something I like to do, but going over there, I was so far out of my comfort zone that it became my comfort zone. And it's encouraging to me, because there's things in the Christian life where it's like, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. Like, it's scary to go do that. It's scary to go overseas for 2 weeks. I've never been overseas. I can't talk to the people over there. But it was just really amazing for me how that, when I just went, how that God gave me so much grace in so many areas. I cannot, I don't like being around 14 people all day, every day. But I had an amazing time just spending time with all the people, all the kids, and that is just completely a God thing because it's not that I put up with it. I enjoyed my time so much over there. And, you know, there was all the things we did, the sticky waterfalls, the villages, the stuff like that. But the only important part, was the orphanage. Those kids completely stole my heart. They were so absolutely sweet and just how much that they loved me and how much that they loved each one of us. And just I was thinking a little bit about it this morning, how I don't know just about any of their stories. I don't know where they come from, why they're even there, but yet they love me so much. And got to bring up Sassy since, you know, Carrie mentioned Sassy. Sassy is, you know, a little bit sassy if you couldn't tell by the name. And it's our affectionate American name for her. And so, like, when we got there, she loved to take my hat and sunglasses and wear them proudly. And she's like, bye-bye, and just pretend she's running off with them. And I'm like, no, I want my hat back. And after a while of that, you know, a couple of days of that, when she started to take my hat, she would always bring it back with flowers in it. And she was the absolute sweetest girl. She was definitely sassy, but I loved her. And then there was just a couple, like, there was usually different kids every day that I would hang out with, or they would just come to me. And there was one of them that I would sometimes leave my sandals somewhere because I didn't really want them. And then I would start walking off with them. And then she would run and go back and grab my sandals and, you know, bring them to me and be like, oh, you got to wear your sandals. I'm like, the kids are just so sweet and making sure that you're taken care of. Like, if I wanted to go get water, they would go run in front of me and get the water. And I don't know. It was just a really good experience for me of just getting out of my comfort zone, but in that of just letting God work in my heart. And I'm the type of person that would rather just want to go run and hide when I'm around so many people. But rather than doing that, I'm just like, God, give me grace. And he absolutely did. Like, when I was tired from swinging the kids around like Addie and I were doing, or throwing them up in the air, yeah, sometimes I would have to take a little break, but God's grace was just so abundant over there in my life, and just, it was just really amazing to see how simply the people live, and how lame the American dream is. So it was, I don't know, just overall a really good trip for me. And I want to encourage you all, if there's times where you really don't want to get out of your comfort zone and you're scared to go do something, if it's somewhere where God's leading you, just do it. Just walk out in faith and he will go before you. The trip over there was not about me. It wasn't about Carrie's. It was not about the eight of us that went along. It was about God for his honor and his glory. And keeping that in mind just made it so liberating, I guess, to where it wasn't about having to do certain things or act a certain way or, like, try to do a certain thing for the kids or whatever, but just getting to share the love of Jesus with them. So, yeah, that's all I've got.
Well, we almost got done at 5 after. Not bad. You know, I think you guys heard the heart of what they were saying and their love of this place. I know when they found out, Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch found out about this orphanage a couple weeks after we left last February, I believe it was, or a couple months, shortly after we had left. We didn't know about this when we were over there in February. Now, this orphanage, just to give you a little bit of background here quick, Maylawan is the lady that runs this. She, her husband passed away, right? And then her son passed away of cancer. And she didn't, this is 23 years ago, I believe, and she wasn't quite sure what to do. Like, she really was crying out to God on to fill this void in her life. And these children started showing up in her life. And this started with a couple. And now it's 600 or more children that have come into her life. And she runs this. And she will tell you, one Maylawan cannot do this. Two Maylawans cannot do this. Three Maylawans cannot do this. 10 Maylawans cannot do this. But God can. And that is where her faith is. She has no... I mean, I don't know that she has really a fixed income in any way of supporting these children. Lloyd and Mary Ellen have been very instrumental in helping things get better, the quality of life, medical things, different things just to improve what these children get to experience in life. But she's been doing this for over 21 years. And across Thailand, if you go into churches across Thailand, you will find children that grew up in this children's home that were taught about Jesus, were taught about Christ and his love for them, the gospel shared with them. And they are, a lot of them are the church leaders across Thailand because of this children's home. And I think that's a powerful testimony to what God can do through brokenness, through the ones who are broken, through the lives that are broken. He loves to take that and show himself faithful in what he is doing. And so, yes, we're trying to improve the life of these children. But I want to share also that these children get to be a testimony even in their own village. And I think we had prayed for them that one Sunday because they were in a parade. They were able to share the gospel with their city because their city will allow no Christian churches there. But Maylawan is there with a member, with a 600-member church right in the middle, and they support her. Right after we left, two young boys, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old boy, were dropped off at the Buddhist temple. And they have terrible stories, but their mother just dropped them off. And that's where they were left, is at the Buddhist temple. So the Buddhist monks bring them over, and they brought them over to Maylawan. I believe they speak different dialects. They don't speak the language there, so probably from Burma or on the edge of Burma from a village there. They don't really know their background. They don't know much about these boys. They cannot read or write. They have no way of... So they're starting from scratch with a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old boy in both language and schooling. It's a daunting thing. That's just 2 out of 600. And do you have that message? Mary Ellen just sent us a message last night to Sarada. And this is a daily thing. These children arrive at this orphanage... Okay. Which parts? This was... Last night, Mary Ellen sent this. And I want you guys to understand that this orphanage is going through this day by day. Like, this is not... Everybody's here and it's done. This is the kids. We get them raised up. We're done. This is an ongoing work of what God is doing, of children showing up. They don't know in the mornings they'll walk out. There might be a baby laying at the gate. There might be a 3-year-old sitting there on the sidewalk. They don't know. But these children just keep arriving. And Maylawan will never say no. That is one thing she will not do. A lot of these children are undocumented. They don't have paperwork. They don't have necessarily a future in any way. But Maylawan is determined that they know the gospel and they have a place to live. As simple as it might be. So you think they have no families, they have nobody investing into them other than what is there. You don't wonder that they soak up every bit of love that every person will come in there and give them. Of course they're going to soak it up. And yes, like Jordan said, yes, they are loving us, but they're soaking up every bit of investment we'll give them. And they love it. I mean, they just love it. And it is, they're basically crying when you leave. And that other team that was over there that just left, it was really sad. They had been there for 4 weeks investing in these kids. And the kids get really attached to them. And it was really hard. It's really, really hard to leave at that point. But this was last evening. Hi, everyone. So I just want to, this is from Mary Ellen Esch. I just want to send an update of a few of the past days' happenings and how you can pray for us. Last evening, we went up to pick up the team at the children's home. In the past week, about 20 children from Burma have been dropped off at the home. The stories that these children have to tell are absolutely heartbreaking. When we arrived last evening, I spotted this little girl sitting alone and sobbing. I went to her, picked her up, and held her. I wept right with her. She is from the Akha tribe from Burma, so she can't speak Thai, and I cannot imagine how it must feel to be dropped off in a new country with completely new faces and not being able to even understand their language. She laid in my arms for a while. I tried to comfort her the best I could. After a while, I noticed that she kept putting her fingers in her mouth, so I looked inside her mouth and saw that she had a big cavity, a hole in one of her teeth. So I went to Miss Lawan, the founder, and informed her that the girl needs to see a dentist. She said the dentist is coming the end of the month. And I was like, no, we can't wait until the end of the month. So I offered to pick her up on Monday and bring her back to Mayo to see the dentist. The home is about an hour and 15 minutes away, but really if we can get her tooth fixed and her pain to subside, I really don't care how many miles we need to travel. So that's the plan. Pray that it won't be too traumatic for her to sit in a dentist chair. I imagine she has never been to a dentist in her life. Later, I heard that her mom and dad were both killed in Burma. Poor, poor, sweet girl. I cannot imagine. Her little brother, who looked like about two, also came. He was also crying and crying and crying. After dinner was over, we needed to pack up the team and head back to Chiang Mai. The next moments were filled with children and us adults, crying and sobbing, giving hugs, and pouring out all the love we could into these little children. They hung tight onto us, and we hugged and cried right with them. It was so sad and exhausting. On the way home, our Thai friend, who had helped lead the team and was with us in front of the truck, this is Ua, told us a few of the children's stories. Again, just heartbreaking. One of the girls who just arrived was with her parents, who were both doing drugs. They would send their little girl to sell them. Finally, the police got a hold of the situation and took her away. She ended up at the home. Unknown to the child, mom and dad are both in jail now. She told her Thai friend that she thinks her mom will come to pick her up any day. Sadly, it could be years till she will ever see her mom again, if ever. I can't imagine so much heartbreak. There's so many more stories. Many of these children have been so traumatized already, and then they get dropped off to complete strangers. Can't speak the language, and it makes for a desperately sad situation. While it's all so overwhelming to us, we know that we can make a difference a little at a time. Continue to pray for these children. I should have waited to play that song till now because I think, yeah, I can cry through that song. But can you hear the cries of the children? And I think that's what stood out to the youth and to most of us as we went over there again. Is we're all, like Caitlin said, we're all orphans. But God adopts us, each one of us, into his family. That's where we find acceptance. That's where we find our joy. That's where we find our purpose in life, is the family of God. And I encourage each one of you to seek that with all your heart. Even though you can't go to Thailand, maybe, or any other country, maybe, or whatever, God is working here. You can share the gospel right here, too. yes, we all got to go. We got to experience wonderful culture and food and people. And Lord willing, as many as you want to come visit us, we'll take you and with open arms and send you off into these villages to figure things out, because I think it'd be a lot of fun to send you. But there's children all over the world who are hurting. And let's continue to pray for especially a new vision there in the children's home, that God will continue to work there and provide the people that they need. They're really, really seeking to have some youth here from the U.S. especially to come over there and live there full-time at the children's home. And I think there's a few from Ellerslie that are praying about it seriously to go over there and work there full-time. And that's really what they want. They want the help. They want just the help that provides for these children. So let's continue to really invest into that as we can with our prayers. Is there anything else that I needed to say? I think that's really all I had to share on that. But again, a huge thank you to the team that went with us. And we're excited what God is doing. And it's just a small gap. I remember, this is for the team especially, but I remember going on my first missions trip to Thailand, of all places, and Asia, around China and all that. But the impact it made on my life was life-changing. Because all of a sudden, I seen God outside of this box that I'd always had him in. All of a sudden, God was much bigger than my church, my youth group, the next volleyball game. It was so much larger than that. It was God at work around the world. And hearing your guys' hearts, I believe that's what God was doing in you. And so thankful that I got to go with you guys and experience that. And many of you, to take you to a country for the first time. You guys don't understand. Addy was green the day we left. He was so scared. He showed up like sick. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Addy, like, this guy's full of adventure. But he was sick. He was so nervous about it. But he did awesome. And he got over there. And I knew Addy would, like, get into a market. And he can't say no. Like, Addy can't say no. And so these guys are all just selling him everything. And he can't say no. Like, he can't walk away. It would hurt their feelings. So we bought a new suitcase for Addy. Because he had more to come back with than he left with. But that's all right. He supported the main economy of Thailand for a week. It was so great. Like, I love that God took each one of you guys with us. So, excited about that. Is there anything else? Do you want me to close? Dave, anything? Okay. Thank you guys for listening in and enjoying the stories. And, yes, sorry. Oh, yes. Friday night is the men's. Any of you men that want to come, or teenage boys that want to come along, I think it's open 6:30 on Friday night here. Is there food provided? Okay, 6:30 for food, fellowship. We just gather together as a bunch of men and are pretty frank with each other about how things are going and life is going in general, and sharing and fellowshipping together. And, look forward to doing that for any of you that want to come. And I think there is a noon meal. It is Americanized Thai food, as you heard. But it still tastes, hopefully, a little bit Thai. And it should be delightfully delicious. So let's just bow our heads in prayer and close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for being here with us this morning. And, Lord, that you are at work. And you have never ceased to work. You never tire. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in Thailand there at New Vision Children's Home and what you are doing. And I just pray for the lives of especially these 20 children that have showed up here in the last week. Lord, that you would show yourself faithful to them. Many of them have probably never heard the gospel. They come from Buddhist families and have never heard of you. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would find you as their comforter, as their father, as their best friend. And Lord, as they learn the language and they learn school and relationships with people there, Lord, I just pray that they would find you above all. And Lord, that you would be special and precious to each one of their lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring the people that need to be there at the children's home there, that they would be able to pour the life of Jesus Christ into these 600 plus children. And Lord, that you would show yourself faithful as you always do to provide, to see a way through for them in every way. Lord, just for Thailand as a whole, Lord, as a country that has so little of you in it. But Lord, I just pray that you would be known to them. And Lord, that you would raise up people who would share the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel with them, that they may know you and realize that there is a God who is not made out of wood and stone, but one who desires to have a personal relationship with them, desires to be there in every step with them. And I pray that the nations would know you through what you do and that you would be glorified. Lord, I just pray for the food here today that we are about to partake of. And Lord, and I just thank you for it. Pray that you would bless it to our bodies. And Lord, I pray that our fellowship this morning or this afternoon would be encouraging and a blessing to each one. And Lord, that we would build each other up in our faith with you and that we would be strengthened because of what you are doing and what you continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.